I didn't plan that with Alan, but that was a really appropriate song for the lesson that I'm going to present tonight. Robert Kupferschmid was an 81-year-old man with no piloting experience. But due to an emergency that put him in some terrible circumstances, he was made to fly an airplane all on his own. Robert Kupferschmid was on a flight with his 52-year-old friend, Wesley Sickle, one day. They were flying from Indianapolis to Mewson, Indiana, on a short flight. I believe they may have been sightseeing or something, when 52-year-old Wesley Sickle slumped over and passed away at the controls of the aircraft. This leaves Robert completely alone, having never flown an airplane, having no know-how of how to fly an airplane, left to control a Cessna 172 single-engine aircraft with only two seats, I believe. He quickly jumps to action, and he goes to the cockpit, and he looks at the controls, and first he gets the radio, and he begins radioing to anyone nearby, saying, "I need help." He begins explaining the situation quickly. Two experienced pilots who happened to be flying near him heard his predicament, and they reached out back to him. These two pilots quickly began feeding him information on how to fly this Cessna 172 aircraft and how to land it properly. Robert began listening to their instructions and following them exactly as they had given them, and was able to successfully land this aircraft. Witnesses say that he hit the tarmac, bounced a couple of times, and ended up on a soft field of grass right next to the runway. So, using the instruction of these two experienced pilots and following it exactly, Robert Kupferschmid was able to leave this aircraft completely unscathed, uninjured, with his life. Oftentimes, we're given a choice to follow the commands of God or not follow the commands of God. And we see this choice a lot with the Israelites, and especially Joshua, where the lesson's going to be tonight. We see this choice often with the Israelites, though, but often they chose to go the other way before they chose to do what God commanded them to do. If everyone would turn with me today to Joshua chapter 6, we're going to be in chapter 6, 7, and 8. I'm going to make a few comparisons of some of the states of being that the Israelites were in to our present walks as Christians and how following God changes that completely. In chapter 6 of Joshua, we read of the Israelites and their conquest of Jericho. Now, at the end of chapter 5 and the beginning of chapter 6, we read of Joshua going to God and having interaction with God. We read God giving him the exact battle plans that they need to do in order to take over Jericho. He gives them a play-by-play rundown on exactly what they need to do. Now, these were not by any means ordinary battle plans. We see that he commanded them to march around the city, and on the seventh day they were to blow their trumpets, and the walls were to fall down. By no means was this an ordinary tactic in war, ever. I mean, by no other means than with God would it have worked. But Joshua commands the Israelites, and they follow these commands, and they're able to have total and complete dominance over Jericho. If you'll read with me in chapter 6, verses 20 through 21, it says, "So the people shouted, and priests blew the trumpets. And when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. They utterly destroyed everything in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and donkey with the edge of the sword." Had they missed a step or not followed what God had told them to do, by no means would they have had this total and utter dominance when it came to taking over Jericho. Even though it was not by any means a normal military strategy that God gave them, they followed it. It reminds me of something my football coach used to say. He was the assistant coach of my high school, Coach Johnny Nino. I remember him, and I can almost hear his voice saying it. There's a method to my madness. And by no means am I calling any command of God madness, but when thought about, this tactic wouldn't have worked. If one hasn't recognized the power of God, they have no reason to believe that this strategy would ever get them inside these walls of Jericho. But they had faith, and they did exactly what God says, and the walls crashed down, and they were able to completely destroy everything in Jericho. That's the first state of being that we're going to look at tonight, and that's victory. The second state of being that we can see exhibited in these verses and chapters is that of failure. And in chapter 7, we read of the men of Israel going up against Ai for the first time. And not only that, but you never read within it before they attack. You never read anybody going to God for instructions on how to take this battle. They begin to get cocky and rely on themselves for what they're going to do rather than rely on God's plans. You can even sort of like understand their cockiness from the scriptures. In chapter 7 and verse 3, it says, "They returned to Joshua and said to him, 'Do not let all the people go up. Only about 2,000 or 3,000 men need to go up to Ai. Do not make all the people toil up there, for they are few.' So about 3,000 men from the people went up there, but they fled from the men of Ai. The men of Ai struck down about 36 of their men and pursued them from the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them down on the descent, so the hearts of the people melted and became as water." So they didn't follow what God said. They didn't even wait for a chance for God to tell them what to do. They went ahead and went on their own accord. And what did we see? They are utterly dominated. They're not able to have any success at Ai, and many people are going to end up being affected due to these kind of ignorant actions. They go ahead on their own will. They don't follow any commands. They end up losing. We see immediately, though, Joshua drops to his knees and proclaims to God, "What have we done?" And God lets him know in chapter 7, verses 10 and following. He says, "So the Lord said to Joshua, 'Rise up. Why is it that you've fallen on your face? Israel has sinned, and they've also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. And they've even taken some of the things under the ban and have both stolen and deceived. Moreover, they have also put them among their own things. Therefore, the sons of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies, for they have become accursed. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things under the ban from your midst. Rise up, consecrate the people, and say, 'Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. For thus the Lord God of Israel has said, there are things under the ban in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you've removed the things under the ban from your midst.'" And through verse 15, we see that God's telling them the way that they're going to handle this situation in order to get back in his favor. But he tells them right here, "I'm not going to help you out in battle again until you fix the things that you've done wrong." Now, had Joshua gone to God in the first place before attacking Ai, he would have learned that there was this problem, and we never would have had to have all this death that occurred at Ai. He didn't rely on God. They hadn't followed the commands of God completely. Therefore, God's not on their side, and God's not going to ever be on their side until they fix these things. This is a theme that, if we go back to the pilot, the Robert Kupert Schmidt, who had to fly the plane, if we think back to that, had he not done anything that those two experienced pilots had told him to do, what would have happened? He would have most likely died imminently. He would have died in a fiery plane crash, most likely. But we see that because he didn't fail to do their commands, he was able to land and survive. It's the same thing with the Israelites here. Had they done what God had said, had they gone to God first, they would have known their flaw, they would have been able to fix it, and they wouldn't have had to gone through the misery that they went through at Ai. The third state of being I'd like to talk about tonight comes from chapter 8, and that's where Israel is able to go into Ai and have their conquest over AI. They fixed the problem that was in their midst. They've destroyed the items under the ban. Those who were guilty have been punished. They're no longer with them. And now they are able to do what God has said to do. If we read in chapter 8, verses 8 through 10, God is giving them instructions again. We see them going to God beforehand once again in order to receive instructions on what to do. It says, "Then it will be when you have seized the city that you shall set the city on fire. You shall do it according to the word of the Lord." Notice that. "See, I have commanded you." So Joshua sent them away, and they went to the place of ambush and remained between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua spent that night among the people. Now Joshua rose early in the morning and mustered the people, and he went up with the elders of Israel before the people to Ai. So God has given the command to Joshua of what they need to do. Joshua's now relayed that to the people, and the people are finally prepared to follow the commands of God once again. Now, again, in chapter 7, we never see them submitting to God. We see them doing their own will, and they failed. Now, again, in chapter 8, if you'll look again, chapter 8, verses 25 through 28, "All who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000. All the people of Ai, for Joshua did not withdraw his hand with which he stretched out the javelin until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Israel took only the cattle and the spoil of the city as plunder for themselves," notice this, "according to the word of the Lord which he had commanded Joshua. So Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap forever, a desolation unto this day." We see this third state of being, redemption. These people, though they had stepped away from God's commands, they've stepped away, they did their own thing, they failed, but they're able to come back. They're able to come back and walk with God again, do what God says, and have success with God again. And to me, that's really encouraging as a Christian, knowing that we can be in the light, and though at times we stumble and we walk away from God, we fail to do what God's commanded us to do, we're able to come back to walk with Him and have success through God. This reminds me of when I was growing up. My dad would usually tell me a list of chores he would like for me to get done before he got back from work. And a lot of times it would include something like mowing the grass and taking the garbage out. Of course, I didn't want to do that, so I sat in and either played video games, took a nap, ate a snack, you know me. I wasn't about to go out and mow the grass. It was hot, it was summertime, you know, that's my time off. And so I failed to do what he said. When he got home, he looks at the unmowed lawn, the pile of garbage, you know, the leaning tower of garbage that's sitting in the kitchen, and he asked me, you know, "Why didn't you do what I've asked you to do?" And of course, I didn't say what I just said. I said, "Oh, I forgot." But anyways, that night when I would say, "Hey, Dad, can I go out with my friends and do this? Can I go out and do that?" The answer was, "Well, you didn't get your chores done, therefore you can't go." So the next day I would wake up, and maybe I'd wake up a little bit earlier than normal. I would go ahead and take the trash out. I would go mow the grass, and then I'd do whatever he left me to do that day. And guess what? That night when I said, "Hey, can I go out with my friends?" He was a whole lot more eager to say yes. There was a whole lot less arguing when it came to me wanting to go out that night. The point of that story is not to reminisce my childhood, but we can have redemption when we fix the things that we've done wrong. And that, again, that's very encouraging for me. I mess up a lot. But it's good to know that when we do step out of the light, we're able to come back to God. As I bring this sermon to sort of a close, I'd like to ask everybody, have you been walking with God and stepped out? If so, we're ready to assist you. We have people standing by to help. If you would like to be restored, be walking in the light again, have redemption through God, have success through God again. Maybe you've never been walking in the light with God. Maybe you've always been not with what God's commanded to do. We're ready to assist you in that way too, if you're ready tonight to come put God on in baptism. If you have a need,